A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were at the place where Jesus had eaten the bread, they too embarked in their boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, you are not looking for me because you have seen signs, but because you have eaten your fill of the loaves. You should not be working for perishable food, but for food that remains unto eternal life, food which the Son of Man will give you. It is on him that God the Father has set his seal." At this they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, to have faith in the one God sent." "So that we can put faith in you," they asked him, "what sign are you going to perform for us to see? What is the work you do? Our ancestors had manna to eat in the desert, according to Scripture. God gave them bread from the heavens to eat." Jesus said to them, "I solemnly assure you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from the heavens. It is my Father who gives you the real heavenly bread. God's bread comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Lord, give us this bread always," they besought him. Jesus explained to them, "I myself am the bread of life. No one who comes to me shall ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me shall thirst again." The Gospel of the Lord. To have food to eat is a human right. Every man, woman, and child, every living being, from the tiniest insect or plant to the largest elephant on the earth, has a right to eat, has a right to survive. Scientists and sociologists tell us that there's enough food on the planet for all living beings to eat and to live healthy lives. And yet anyone who reads the news these days, even occasionally, knows that our times are marked by two irreconcilable extremes. On one side, in the developed world, an alarming and rapidly escalating number of obese people, a disproportionate rate of new cases of children with diabetes due to obesity. And on the other side, huge populations of people today facing death by starvation and or lack of clean drinking water. And even though we keep hearing these statistics day in and day out, we just keep eating or not eating, whichever side of the world you live in. We overeat, and they don't eat. And today in John's Gospel, Jesus, who has just distributed bread and fish to a large crowd of people, thanks to the generous gift of a boy who freely shared his 5 barley loaves and 2 fish with Jesus, Jesus proclaims, "I am the bread of life." What does it all mean? Jesus gives a bit of a scolding to the crowds that are following him, saying, "You're only looking for me because you've eaten. You're full of your loaves." They seem to only be interested in miraculous signs and having a full belly. Jesus, though, seems to be inviting them into a kind of catch-22, a paradox. He wants to feed them, really nourish them, but before that can happen, it seems that he first wants them to really be hungry. Stop filling your bellies and your hearts and your minds with all that perishable stuff. Let go of your security, your cravings, your addictions. Quit filling yourselves with junk food, even spiritual junk food. I want you to really feel hunger for God, for the reign of God. So wait a minute, Jesus. So you're telling us that you want to feed us with bread, And yet you're also inviting us to experience hunger. Yep, I think that's exactly where Jesus is leading us, purposely pinning us between a rock and a hard place. Remember the story that's told just two chapters before this in John's Gospel, the story of the woman who meets Jesus by the well in her tiny little Samaritan village called Sychar. Jesus begins the conversation with her by asking for water. "I'm thirsty. Could you give me something to drink?" She, in turn, chooses to play hardball with the stranger. She's rough and tough. None of that wimpy, "I'm thirsty" Jewish jargon is going to move her heart. "You thirsty, mister? Then go and get you a bucket and go get a drink." Jesus' thirst, though, is a deeper thirst. It's the kind of thirst we hear echoed in Psalm 63. "O God, you are my God. For you I seek, like a dry, weary land without water." Jesus thirsts, all right, for God, and for God's new world of justice and love and compassion and mercy and peace. Jesus knows that she thirsts for that world too. She just can't yet bring herself to admit it. But as the patient, loving dialogue between the two continues to unfold, she, too, is finally able to say, once she removes all her masks and lets down her guard, "Lord, give me that living water that you speak of, so that I'll never be thirsty again." And now, two chapters later, in the same Gospel of John, Jesus is having a similar kind of dialogue with the people who experienced the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Their bellies are full, but their hearts are empty, like a barren desert. They're like the people of Israel, called by God into freedom, delivered from slavery, and yet they're willing to go back to being slaves as long as they can fill their bellies with three meals a day. Ask anyone who's ever ventured into the scary desert of any of the 12-step programs. They can tell you what it feels like to be full and empty at the same time, flying high while walking through the lowest, darkest valley imaginable, all at the same time. Like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, the people who are following Jesus in today's gospel finally start to get the point. Jesus says to them, "It wasn't Moses who gave you bread when you were walking through the desert. It was God. It was my Abba who fed you. God's bread comes down and gives life to the world." And they, like the Samaritan woman, finally let their guard down and cry out from deep within their hearts, "Lord, give us this bread." She finally admitted her thirst, and now they are finally ready to admit their hunger. So what about us? Are we so stuffed that we actually think we're not hungry? Hungry for God and hungry for the kingdom of God? Jesus comes into the world, he tells us, not to bring us some nice, neat, store-bought harmony and peace and love. No, he actually said he came to turn things upside down, to cause division. He came to make us face these silly games we play, calling it all religion. Oh yeah, he did come to feed the poor and the hungry. But for the rest of us, he came to make us cry out with hunger pains. He leads us into the desert so we'll feel like we're dying of thirst. That's called Exodus, you know. And Exodus leads to life. and to liberation. Jesus came to turn the world upside down. If you're not hungry and thirsty, then you're really in trouble. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry, says Jesus in the Beatitudes. Jesus is the living water. He is the bread of life. Happy the one who hungers and thirsts. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be filled.